What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Okay, Jackie Schimmel, welcome to Call Her Daddy.
Oh, are we on?
We're on.
Oh, fuck yeah. Okay,
I figured we have Henry. Leo, can you maybe come in?
Richard! Richard! Oh, my God. Richard, come here. Treats?
Wait, look at his body.
It baffles me. He's so low to the ground.
It's crazy.
Look at his body type.
Like, how do you explain his body type? Can we get you in camera?
Come here. Leo, get your ass over here.
Come here.
Come here, baby bitch. I would say that he is reverse pear-shaped. His father is pear-shaped, and he's reverse pear-shaped.
Are you talking about his father as in your husband?
Yes.
Andrew's pear-shaped.
He's 100% pear-shaped. He should know.
I dated a guy that was pear-shaped once. It's not bad.
I don't love the chafing element. And speaking of chafing, I'm wearing burlap pants. It's 100 degrees. I feel like I have a white woman's, like, cocktail reception in my vagina. No.
They look burlap. Great. They look great.
Itchy in the wrong places.
So you're a fellow podcaster.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this. I asked people to write in, like, what do you guys want us to talk about?
Oh, God.
And people were like, how are you guys friends? And I'm like, how do we?
That's rude.
Yeah. No. How are you guys? Like, how did you guys become friends? They're like, no, they're not like, how the fuck are the two of you friends?
I'm like, it kind of makes a lot of sense.
You guys don't get it? Like, we're kind of similar at all. No. Yeah. And I was like, how did we become friends?
Okay, I totally know how this happened.
Tell us. Also, I love that I'm drinking iced coffee. I never do this before, but I figured I'm so comfortable with you that if I need to shit my pants during the interview,
I can... A full gallon of matcha, and I probably will shit, but you won't know because I'm wearing burlap pants.
What are burlap pants?
You know, like, when you go to, like, a sad live, laugh, love wedding, and they have, like, those burlap tablecloths at the cocktail hour?
Yeah. You're wearing them. Oh, yeah. Like, I get that. That looks like beach house vibes, actually.
They're Gucci. Fuck off.
I actually love when you're wearing designer, but you have to clarify they're designer
because
they don't appear designer.
No, they really don't.
No, they do. They do.
They're like itchy and like, oy vey.
You need to pull this down. I need to see your face. You look great today. Yeah.
I do.
Don't you podcast for a living?
Yeah, but I don't do video.
Oh.
That is by clear and concise design, honey.
I will say that's one of my least favorite things about doing video is I've had to start putting like makeup on.
Like a little tinted moist?
Yeah. Even for a solo. I look worse.
What's going on with the flowers in here?
It's so bad.
Like, what's happening?
No.
What is this?
Let me just be so clear.
Why are they so erect?
No.
Okay. Speaking of Midwest cocktail hour.
Okay. Let me be so clear.
Marrying your cousin. What is going on?
Okay, you know, this is a good conversation to start off with.
Yeah.
My set, I started with like a vision.
What was that vision? Can we just get some, like, hot pink orchids?
Okay.
Aren't you rich?
Here's the issue. I started with the vision of, like, big, cozy, comfy chairs.
What is that turquoise vase? This is Collar Daddy.
Like, terse-type balls.
It's like an urn. It's like a sad, low-bud Shiva in here. What is going on?
Okay, let me explain to you.
Oh, sorry.
I'm so happy someone called out because every time someone comes in here, they're like, it's so cute in here. I'm like, it looks like a grandmother's room.
No, I like this.
You like this.
I don't understand what's happening with your floral concept.
Oh.
Richard, it's okay. It's anxiety. It's okay.
Wait, Richard is having a panic attack and Henry's like, get the fuck away from me. Are you okay? Are you about to? Is he okay?
He's fine.
We just need a break.
Leo.
Hmm.
Okay. It's anxiety.
Do you want to hold him?
No, he's fine.
It's okay, Richard.
Don't fucking embarrass me.
I love how Henry has like zero give a fucks. Okay, we're swerving.
Am I allowed to put my feet on here?
Please, it's fine.
Thank God. I'm
we're
going to
get rid of these chairs anyways. Okay,
good.
So when I designed this room, I really had a vision where I think we need to take your dog to the vet.
No, he does this all the time. It literally is like he gets overwhelmed. We went to the Bahamas a couple years ago, and he was in such emotional distress that we left him that he had like a whole anxiety condition. We almost put him on Prozac.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by Monday Hair Care. Daddy gang, nobody likes Mondays. Am I right? We're all sobbing. We're all sobbing and we're barely getting out of bed on a Monday. But Monday Hair Care is here to flip the script with its award-winning formulas. No more bad hair days, daddy gang. Monday Hair Care is turning Mondays into a reason to celebrate good hair, which I love, thank God, with 7 new products like a leave-in conditioner, dry shampoo, a curl line, and body wash. And daddy gang, every single thing is under $10. Yes. And the smell is to die for. Okay. I want my hair smelling like something that Matt wants to be engulfed in. I want him to come up to me and go, oh my God, you smell amazing. Oh my God, what is that in your hair? So daddy gang, reclaim the week with Monday at all leading retailers. Visit MondayHairCare.com to find a stockist near you. This episode is brought to you by Curology. If you have particular skincare challenges, it can be really frustrating to waste time and money on products that just are absolutely not formulated for you. That is why I'm so excited to recommend Curology. I have personally struggled with acne my whole life, and I'll look at someone on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram and be like, should I buy those products? No, I do not have the same skin as them, so I should not be treating it the same. Curology's personalized prescriptions are formulated to treat your individual skin needs, from acne to the earliest signs of aging. All you have to do is go online, take a quick quiz, and you will be connected to a licensed dermatology provider that will create a custom formula based on your skincare needs. If you're ready to start your skincare journey and start seeing results, here is a special offer just for you. Visit Curology.com/callherdaddy for a special offer. That's Curology, Curology.com/callherdaddy. Offer applies only to your first box, subject to consultation, new subscribers only, subscription required.
How the fuck are we friends? How do we become friends?
Okay, you know what's so funny? I don't even know if you remember this. We met during the pandemic in person, and we had DM'd a couple times. Now, I didn't know who you were, but I knew that you and your ex-partner had this show. I had heard of Call Her Daddy. And then you had DM'd me a couple times, I think. Or maybe your ex-partner had DM'd me a couple times. And I ignored them because I'm a lovely person. And then somehow during the pandemic, I think we started talking on Instagram.
Yes.
And following each other. And then, like, so annoying, met up, became, like, internet friends. And then did a podcast swap.
I will never forget how bad that podcast was. Because
you didn't know what a swap was.
I had no idea. I'll never do it again. It was so... Who's calling me? This is so unprofessional.
I mean, you would never do this with Hailey Bieber.
I would have my phone in the different room. Meanwhile, I'm like, hold on, let me check.
She would have fresh florals. The urns would be put away. This is some bullshit.
You know what? No, you're right. That's how we became friends. First, we started as podcast friends.
Yep.
And then after we podcasted, I remember we were like, huh.
Oh, we like each other.
And then we had the connection where you know my boyfriend.
Yes.
Through childhood.
Yes.
And it's like a whole thing.
Right.
So it ended up working out. And then like family friends and stuff.
100%. But you know, as a podcaster, you meet a lot of fucking people. I don't fuck with that many people. I really don't.
And you keep coming back around to me.
I like you. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I appreciate you coming on because I'm desperate for a guest right now. Around the holidays, we can't
don't
get anyone.
Don't you even look me in the eye and say desperate for a guest or I will shank you in the backyard. Desperate for a guest, Alex Cooper?
Jackie, you are like,
I don't have guests.
No, you know what? I wanted to say to anyone that is new, you have balls. No, you've got a big vagina.
Massive.
And don't you always talk about how you have to put like multiple tampons?
But you know what? Here's the thing. And if there's one thing that I want to say on Call Her Daddy today is that my vagina is not wide. It is shallow. So for a long... I have a very shallow vagina, and I'm a woman of extreme efficiency. So, like, I don't understand light girlies. Like, you go to fucking CVS and you're getting tampon lights. We already have to deal with the pink tax. Now I'm having my Gloria Steinem moment. Oh, get ready for it.
Oh, we love it.
We already have to pay the pink tax. All boxes of tampons are the same price. Okay, so why would you go light when you can go ultra? Just from a fiscal standpoint.
Wait, do you buy the ultras?
Fuck yeah. I have fit two ultras inside of me, side by side, like fighter pilot jets. Like fucking Top Gun.
One time I thought I was buying super, and I realized I bought super plus, and I was like, oh, this is like in the big leagues. I didn't even know there was ultra.
I can raw dog ultras. And you think about it, okay, you're either like changing lights every 20 minutes or you ultra that shit, you're ready to rumble. You could fly to fucking Abu Dhabi.
Have you ever bled through an ultra?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, oh, yeah. That's like, good.
Came out of me. Slid down the mountain.
Isn't that the worst when you have a tampon and you can feel it's coming out?
There is. Let me tell you something. I was coming back from Paris.
Okay.
A few months ago. And I had an ultra in because I'm, you know, a feminist. And I was going through customs and I thought I was good to go because I did like a mid-flight switcheroo. And thank God I was wearing a jogger pant with an elastic ankle because something happened during customs where I was like, she has left my body. And it fell out and it was just pooling at my ankle. Sorry. I know her throat's closing up. No. This is really disgusting.
Are you saying that your ultra tampon popped out of your vagina and slid?
Slow and steady. Like a ski toboggan. Just slid up. And I was like, I was trying to like tilt my pelvic floor and like kegel it back in. But it had, the ultra had left the building.
And so it's sitting at the bottom of essentially the elastic pocket of your jogger. Yeah. And what did you do? Because customs, there ain't no moving. You're
well,
in
like
that.
I said, thank God I had an elastic ankle and I just moved low and slow. Like I was just like.
Were you with your husband?
No, I was alone. Which is kind of unfortunate because I would have loved to like have that experience together.
I actually agree with you. When something like funny or embarrassing or just like out of body is happening, when you're alone, it can be even worse / funnier because you're like, you're going through the internal self-dialogue of like, what do I do? What do I do? It would have
like,
been 10 times
shit
better.
If pops out.
Where are we going?
What am I
going
to do?
Where are we going from here?
Do I just like turn a blind eye and like keep on moving with my fucking passport or do I pick it up? Like, I don't know. And I almost wanted to like tell people in the line because I thought it was so hilarious.
I will say to anyone listening, if you're having like a bad day, just think that you've never had an ultra slip out of an ultra.
It's like a twin mattress.
Come out of your vagina and slip down your leg. When did you take it out?
Oh, I didn't run because I couldn't run, but I did a very slow stroll to the bathroom and
I want you to like take me through iterations of yourself through life. So like start at like young Jackie. No.
Like a Barbara Walters.
No. But like, do you know what I'm saying? Like bring me back to young Jackie and walk us through. So people can really get to know like who you are and the evolution of you.
I am embarrassed to say that my evolution has been pretty non-evolutionized. Like I have been like kind of the same my whole life. It was just about what I was able to get away with, you know, because like when you do have adhesive headgear and gingivitis and you're like things aren't landing the same way when you're in seventh grade as when you're 32. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's taken years for me to like fully be like all caps myself in public. But as a kid, I was super obnoxious. I was annoying as fuck. I hated socializing, but like I did the thing because I didn't want to be a loser. But I was always like, I loved like doing like characters and I was always like doing bits and I was like just annoying as fuck. Like my parents were like, literally go play on the freeway. Like that was like I wasn't allowed to be in the house, which is interesting because now I have this like weird thing where I can't be home from 10 to 4. Like I have to be out of the house because I have like this weird like Nell energy about it. And I just don't like festering at home. It makes me feel like a loser.
Where do you go?
Anywhere. And I'll sit in parking lots. I don't care. I do not like being home.
Wait, what?
It's the weirdest thing.
Wait, okay, so can you...
So as a kid, my parents were like, get the fuck out of the house.
And you just go.
Oh, I would... I mean, self-amusement is truly like the rhythm of my dance floor. Like, I love being alone. I love being untethered. I like doing weird shit. I don't care. I never have cared if other people get it or think it's funny. It, like you just said, it makes it funnier when nobody else understands what's going
on. It's so true. Someone DM'd me. I posted something the other day where I was like, it's not that revolutionary. Like, I'm just alone a lot. Someone messaged me like, I love how like you and Jackie always make me feel better because you guys are just always alone.
Yeah.
And like doing shit alone. You guys feel so comfortable alone. And I'm like, why would I want to be with anyone else? You have a husband, I have a partner. I'm like, why would I ever want to be with anyone else?
I feel like the most myself when and like comfortable, and yes, I do have like slight OCD tendencies as diagnosed by a licensed professional, but I feel like so alive and present when I'm by myself.
I don't
feel like I gotta start tap dancing. Yeah.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, and I'm happier.
Me too. Okay, bye
bye guys. Gotta go. No, I appreciate that. Can you explain what gingivitis is? And also,
sure,
did you have to publicly wear an adhesive headgear?
No, only no, I didn't. But like sleepovers weren't a thing. I did have like those rubber bands that like really.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I've always loved a mixed metal, so I would go like gold, silver, like brackets, like on my braces.
Okay, so you had
gingivitis is a condition, a dental medical condition in which you have hypersensitive, inflamed gums. So I had an allergy to the cement on the braces, you know? So my gums, like I had no teeth. It was just gum and metal. And then I would have to get my braces off every month, which is why I had them for almost 5 years, because I needed to let the gums breathe.
Yeah.
And they would just bleed constantly. I mean, bleeding out of my vagina, bleeding out of my gums. It's a whole
Why thing. Do I feel like that made you, this is so insulting. Uh-huh. Why do I feel like that made you... let me say it. A mouth breather.
Am I a mouth breather? I probably am.
No, I feel like back in the day.
Oh, back in the day.
You would be a mouth breather because like.
Oh, yeah. There were so many fluids and I always had a roll-on lip gloss to boot. So it was so shiny and so like. It was a lot.
Okay, so you 100%. Were a mouth breather.
Yeah.
You had gingivitis. You had a headgear.
But I was like in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also hugged a lot as a kid. So I was like, I would come home. Like if I ever had like any type of insecurity or like, well, I said that. You know, like in middle school, I wasn't super cute. But I really like leaned in.
You got it. You got the joke.
I was like, whatever. I'm like, who wants to be hot in middle school? How embarrassing.
That's something where I remember where people were trying to expose me for my younger photos. And at first, like, because I had like not gone through therapy about it, I was like, I was so ugly. Like, I was so awkward. And I was like, I felt like I was doing whack-a-mole to like try to get people to not know what I looked like. And then I was like, how incredible to know that I didn't fucking peak in middle school, you dumb bitches. Like,
exactly.
How great. How great.
It's
okay?
So not that big of a deal.
And it's like, why, when you see people's middle school photos, most of the people, this is so fucked up, sorry, but most of the people that
don't apologize to me, Cooper.
Okay. Most of the people that were like the hot chicks in middle school are now addicted to like
meth.
Yes. Okay. It didn't go well.
Exactly.
And I think, listen, if you're listening and you were a beauty queen since day one.
Well, fuck you.
Yeah. I was going to say fuck you.
And also, like, I don't really think, I don't put, like, a lot of weight on how I look.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not where I get self-esteem at all.
Talk about that.
I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, I'm lucky that I had a good childhood and I've always felt pretty secure-ish. And I just have never, like, thought that that was a sustainable way to get self-esteem. Like,
yeah,
I just don't think that's, like, the thing that people should aspire to get attention for.
I agree. I think...
granted, I'm gorgeous.
You're like, don't get it wrong. Like,
I just want you to know, if you're not watching the video, I also happen to be super cute.
If you're listening to this, quickly just tune in. You will swerve off the road if you see this beauty sitting across from
you.
Me.
Will get a boner that will go through your windshield. However, no, I have met like some of the most beautiful people in the world that I think are fucking busted because they're so boring. And especially nowadays in 2022, I think we really need to prioritize like some fucking personality and opinions, because I'm bored with everybody on the fucking internet. It's called shelf life. Have fun.
When I was doing research for this, which was minimal, I wrote down something that I thought was interesting, and I was like, I thought I knew you.
Okay.
And apparently I don't know you at all.
Okay.
And I was like, I think Jackie Schimmel is subtly a version of Anna Delvey.
Okay.
And then it really clicked, because I was like, this bitch bought her fucking art. They're in on this together.
Uh-huh.
You faked a college diploma mm-hmm. from UCLA mm-hmm. to get a job.
Yeah.
Can you please confirm and clarify? And first of all, I just want to be clear. I wasn't like going onto Jackie's shit trying to find out if she's been arrested. It's like on your website. You're like, yeah, I faked my college diploma, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So first of all, did you ever attend UCLA?
No.
Okay.
But I lived in off-campus housing. Like, I somehow was able, it was a different time. I was able to get to the UCLA, like, roommate housing site.
What?
Yeah. And I lived with all UCLA students, like, in an off-campus, like, housing
okay.
establishment.
I need you, I think that when I was reading about that, I was like, okay, I have cheated on tests.
Duh.
Of course.
Who hasn't?
And I've gone to extreme lengths of, like, cheating, and I got caught a couple times. But yeah. I feel like it takes a certain level of, like, sick,
uh-huh.
like, no fear of consequences
yes.
to fake and to give someone a resume that you're applying for a job and be like, I went to UCLA. Here you go. Yeah. How did you come up with this? How did you make it happen? And are you good at Photoshop?
You know what? Photoshop didn't exist back then, but I did have the Paint app, humble brag.
So you created a fake diploma from UCLA.
I had gone to community college for literally one day. Couldn't have been like less interested. I was like, this is terrible. I graduated high school with a 1.8 GPA.
What?
Humble wow. brag. It's like my favorite thing to drop in.
Wait, really?
Literally, yeah.
Just no interest in school.
None. None.
No drive.
No.
No concern that like you wouldn't get a job?
No, I wasn't like thinking that far ahead. I kind of just figured like, I'll just like get in there and like, you know, whatever.
The confidence?
Delusion.
The fact that you were like 1 point whatever the fuck GPA. Mm-hmm. How do you even also even get that?
It's actually quite an accomplishment. You basically have to fail everything. It's like straight D's.
And did
it's like D's and C's. Yeah. Through for 4 years.
So then you go to community colleges for one day.
For one day. Could not be bothered. Mm. I was like, this is not my fucking journey. So I actually lied to my parents for like a year and said that I was going to college, and I doctored. That's how I got my Paint app Photoshop skills. I was faking report cards, and my parents were like very hands off. They trusted me way too much. Like they like weren't asking questions. They weren't like, how was like, they just didn't ask about
what the
it.
Fuck were you doing during this time?
You know, there was this amazing cheese shop what? Downtown. I was cooking. I was eating. I was drinking boxed wine. I was like going on walks. I was I don't know what the
you
fuck
didn't even
I was
have doing. A job.
No. And then eventually while I was lying to my parents, I got an internship. And then lied to them and said I was graduating college, but I was only a sophomore. And then they offered me a job. And that just kind of kickstarted my fraudulent life.
And then you literally just started giving people saying you went to UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
How I'm interested to know, because I think when you start a lie, it can tumble.
Yeah.
How far did you, were you buying like Bruins UCLA gear? Like, woo, go Bruins. Like what? Like, woo.
Well, I only was lying to like human resources or like people like super high up that I wasn't with every day. So
got
like
it.
Every, by the way, I have no fucking chill. I am like the most, I have borderline Tourette's where I have to tell everyone everything all the time.
Right.
So I think that's, it was a real learning curve, but everyone that I was working with like kind of knew. You know,
interesting. Like, and then like, HR listen. Didn't
no and it didn't really cause a problem until I started working at like a really, you know, esteemed financial institution where they did this little thing called hot tip employment verification.
Oh.
So part of that is they call all the admissions offices and then they like confirm your degree.
And what happened?
Well, the good news is that I was in charge of employment verification, so I just kept taking mine and putting it at the bottom of the list.
Stop. And then did you ever get caught?
No.
I'm going to honestly say I respect it because I think it takes a level of I don't know the word. Like, it's really a ballsy move that I don't think a lot of people could pull off.
Like, what would be the worst that could happen? Oh, no, I'd get fired from my receptionist gig at the financial institution where it was miserable all day. Like,
no, you're right. I guess it's actually really innovative and crafty. Where do you get your confidence from?
I think that I'm myself all the time. And I like myself, and I understand that not everyone is gonna fuck with me, and that's totally cool.
I appreciate that, because I feel like it takes, I feel like no one says, like, I like myself. Because now I'd be like, you're a narcissist and you're an egomaniac. It's like, no, I just like myself. I've got to live with myself here.
Totally.
So we're gonna...
I don't think I'm, like, the prettiest person in the entire world. I don't think I'm necessarily that smart. I don't think I'm the funniest person. I don't, I don't think any of those things about myself. I'm just, like, happy I get to, like, do the thing as me. Because what else am I going to be? Miserable? I'm going to wake up and be like, God damn it, Jack, you need veneers. Like, whatever. Who cares? Like, that's such a waste of time.
Let's talk about the real reason you're here today.
Okay.
You are here...
Sweating.
I'm actually sweating too. You're here to defend a woman's right to wear an ankle boot.
Oh, yes.
For anyone that has no idea what I'm fucking talking about, Morgan Stewart came on the podcast.
That bitch.
That fucking bitch came on my podcast and had the audacity to fuck up my... Every single person that works at Call Her Daddy... ruined. I've been on team Zooms of people being like, oh, Alex, what am I supposed to do? Do I have to throw up my ankle boots? Let me just clarify to anyone that has no idea what we're talking about. Morgan Stewart came on Call Her Daddy and basically took a hard stance against ankle boots.
I have a lot of thoughts about this.
Okay.
Yeah. I have known Morgan and love her dearly for years and years. A very good friend. And I know that when Morgan assassinated the ankle boot... in early November of 2022, I can close my eyes and envision what she was talking about. I think she's thinking of like a round toe, Louboutin, chunky heel, like club rat, one oak shoe.
Oh, okay.
I will say, as a woman with very long femurs, I'm talking about myself, and gorgeous sculpted chins, talking about myself, that I look very good in an ankle boot. Dare I say, stunning leg porn OnlyFans.
So this is controversial because she said not even Irina, how do you say her name? Irina Shayk?
Shayk
could look good. So you're essentially saying you are more gorgeous on the lower half than Irina Shayk.
I do suffer with dermatitis on my legs, so I'm working on it. But I fuck with an ankle boot. Now, Morgan has since specified.
Let's call her. I just sent Morgan my location. Come through, bitch.
Oh, wow.
Okay, let's call her.
That is drama.
It's very drama. I'm like, where are you? Roll up.
She should be nervous.
What else is she doing? She just got some kids, whatever.
Yeah, big whoop. Wow.
No?
Oh! Hello? Hi, Morgan.
Hey, Morgie.
Hi, anyway, I'm putting you on... Am I not doing this right? Okay, here I am. I'm so stressed out. I got it.
Tell her she's being recorded. It's illegal.
Currently you're being recorded.
Mm-hmm. I'm being recorded. Okay, I like it. I like it.
And I'm sitting across from Jackie Schimmel.
Oh, we love her.
We've been talking shit on you for 20 minutes.
Yep.
Have you? No, you guys like me too much to do that.
Okay, we need you to settle ankle boot gate. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know the amount of women that have now thrown out all of their ankle boots because of you. It's been honestly an uproar that's happened, and I want to give you the chance to clarify. What did you mean?
What did you mean, Morgan?
This is literally Oprah said she wasn't eating meat anymore. This is what I've done to the ankle boot industry. Like, I did not realize this is
and your friend's
and
closet.
Way, my DMs are flooded. It's very clear. First of all, to use our dear friend Jackie as an example from dinner, a flat combat boot is not the ankle boot I was referring to. I was referring to the black suede heeled ankle boot with the inner zipper, where the zipper's inside the boot. And the only real issue I have is when that is being used as a heel and it is an exposed ankle boot. Like an ankle boot with
like
a sheer tight and a mini skirt, doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
Okay, okay. I actually want to go ahead and say I agree with you.
I agree with that.
Thank you.
Okay, okay. Because I think this is the thing. How many people wear an ankle boot and then there's like your pant goes over it and you're right. wearing a fucking boot with a jean? Great, great.
You don't know.
Fine, no problem with that.
But when you're wearing shins. Yes, yes. But when you're wearing a dress or a skirt or even shorter jeans.
It's a little 2012.
Yeah, it's like Aldo, Steve Madden. We're giving.
Doesn't work.
We're giving
up. Inland Empire, Nordstrom.
It never elongates. Rack. And also, just to be very clear, so everybody at home understands, if you're also wearing a skinny black pant or jean and it fits into the ankle boot, you still don't tuck the pant into the boot.
Okay.
Okay.
Unless it's a baggy so ankle boot and it's like an Isabel Marant style, that works.
I was just going to use that as a counter argument.
Oh.
I literally, Morgan Stewart, I was just going to say, as someone with gorgeous shins, you know how Isabel Marant does that little dip in the front?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That little dip that dip? Me looking good in the dip dip.
Yeah, so Jackie's been bragging about her shins. we just hung up. Okay, apparently her phone died. I don't know if I hung up on her or her phone died. Goodbye, Morgan. You've already had your time on caller ID.
Yeah, this is Jackie. About you, Morgan. This is about me.
Okay, so I actually think that clarifies a lot, and I do feel better about it. I'm literally not going to answer if she calls.
Yeah.
I think I feel better. Do you still stand by, though? Like, are you going to go to an event with a dress and an ankle boot?
I would never wear a heeled ankle boot.
Okay, me too. Me either.
Not, I would wear, like, a Western-style ankle boot with, like, a little bit of a heel.
Yeah.
But not, like, a stiletto ankle boot.
I agree.
Of course not. Now I could never. I mean, even if I was, I would lie about it.
Right,
I don't want Morgan to harass and bully me.
It's really interesting to see how powerful that conversation was, and I'm like, Jackie, are you gonna say anything today that is going to traumatize my audience?
Probably.
Let me get myself some water.
I know, I've been screaming about ankle boots.
Hold on.
Oh, I'll put this in the cute cup. Okay. Oh wow, paper straws. I'll give you a fucking hot take.
Say it.
Fuck the turtles, I like plastic straws.
You know what? Although I actually agree with you in terms of...
By the way, I love that that's like the most controversial thing you could ever say. I was at like a fucking dinner and I said something like, it was like an influencer dinner. We'll never talk about it again. I'm so embarrassed.
You went to one of those?
I only went to one and then I got like basically kicked out. And I said something about like bring back the plastic straws. And it was like I had just said, like I had done like a Hail Hitler or something. Like it was like the whole, like there was like a rogue wave of shame and disappointment. And these girls were like, that's just like not cool. And I'm like, I can't make a joke about plastic straws. I cut them up when I'm done to save little baby Franklin. You know Franklin?
Of course I know Franklin. Yeah. I think you're right. There's bigger issues of how to solve the issues with the environment. Like
come
stop going
house.
On your private planes.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Let's like tackle bigger issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think you're superior because you suck out of a paper limp dick straw that's compostable?
Yeah.
Me too. I love it.
Love it. Shout out.
No single use plastics, guys.
Okay, so let's talk about our dinner the other night. We'll start with this. We went to Tower Bar, which is like a great place to go, right?
Great vibe. Dark.
We had a great conversation about mean girls and like adult mean girls. And we're not talking about the movie Mean Girls. I'm talking about like real life women that
petty
are
bitches.
Yes. I want to know how do you define a mean girl?
I think a mean girl is probably someone that's dealing with insecurities and therefore is deeply threatened and put off by people who feel like it highlights what they dislike about themselves. I think a mean girl is someone who projects a very different version of themselves to the public. And then, you know, behind closed doors is just like spewing mad shit that says nothing about the other person. It's all about them. Or someone who can't be friends with someone who's doing better than them is a fucking mean girl.
I completely agree with, I think, every single thing you said.
Dudes are the same way. It takes, like, if you can't be happy for someone that's doing better than you or has something that you want. Mm-hmm. And there's not a, there should never be a sting.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there should be a lingering sting.
I agree with you. And I, something I was thinking about was like, I agree with you on the mean girl thing. I think there's like such a deep rooted insecurity and there, it almost feels like there's this like underlying like anger in them.
Everybody deals with like feeling like they're not enough or they're not funny, smart, successful, whatever it is. Everybody has those feelings. You need to buck up, grab your vagina, and differentiate that how you're feeling has no merit to what other people are doing. You need to be like this.
Yeah.
You need to like, what are you doing? Like, I just find that to be, it's so embarrassing.
Listen, I think there is a different level of like, everyone talks shit.
It's a bonding technique, A. It's therapeutic.
Yes.
And it's really not that big of a fucking deal.
You can tell when someone's talking shit and it's like a genuine like, oh, you're like really upset about this.
If you're like bothered.
Yes. Like it's a joke.
Yeah.
Like we're chilling. Like
you're too close to it if you're so bothered.
How would you handle a mean girl who you can tell is like genuinely trying to like make you feel like shit?
I think like in any situation, you have to get ahead of it. And like directness is always the best way. It throws people off, especially you get one of those kinds of girls that's like really trying to like whip in nay-nay and like fuck you up. You're like, you want to dance? Let's start fencing, like the Parent Trap. Like, you want to play? Let's fucking play. I'll stab you right in the eyeball. Like, we're not doing this dance. So I like to nip shit in the bud and let them know what time it is. Like, I see we're watching a different movie. You're watching Mean Girls and I'm watching Poltergeist. You know what I mean? Like, I do not fuck like that.
So what the fuck would you say to someone?
I'd be like, what is your intent here? Are you trying to like, you just have to like get a high beam flashlight and just roll and be like, like, what is your agenda here?
Just cutting right. Because I think people could also argue like just killing people with kindness.
If that's your journey.
That's personally not mine. Also, I will say, I think sometimes with my energy, I'm like, I just like don't have the energy for you. Like, be a bitch. And I'm literally like, this is so embarrassing for
then
you.
Then you can just sit like a little shiva and you just clip it.
Right. You're like,
we're
okay.
We're not friends.
I've had people write in of like, if someone's being a bitch to me, you can really just say, hey, Caroline. Like, Caroline, I don't know anyone.
Caroline, what's the agenda of this conversation?
Yeah.
What's your agenda?
Or what my dad always told me to say is, what's your point?
Yeah. What's your point?
Because then they're like, well, my point, no. What's your actual point? Where are we going here?
And there's something that's so off-putting about being like very brazen in a conversation when you can feel that someone's trying to like mince you and put you into a corner to say something so you look stupid or embarrass you. You just lean the fuck in.
Mm-hmm.
Go harder. And humor diffuses everything and is like the ultimate like, it's just, it's the card. Mm-hmm. It's the card that always fucking wins.
You're right.
So you can diffuse anything and say exactly what you need to and make it like light and fluffy and not drama, because I don't play that game either. There's nothing more cringe and embarrassing. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be the girl crying at a dinner because like Katie from Milwaukee hurt your feelings because she doesn't like your ankle boots. Making it about me.
No, literally. I get what you're saying.
Just like, take control of the narrative,
yeah.
Make it funny, and be unbothered.
How do we make it funny?
How do you make it funny? I think you get ahead of it. I think like self-deprecation always really works.
Yep.
But like if someone said...
Say a girl's in a room with everyone and like a guy didn't end up texting the girl back and her friend's a fucking mean girl asshole and she's like, yeah, well, Johnny didn't text Sarah back. Oh, Sarah.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, it's probably because I have herpes.
Like, oh, it's probably because I have like small tits and no ass. And you like, it's something like making fun of yourself that you're
probably
because
I have herpes, but like, I'll just like kill him tonight. And you, Kirsten, you just like get ahead of it. Be like, yeah, oh my God, what will I do? I'm probably just going to like die alone because I'm just like so unfuckable.
And you say that, maybe not that exact thing, but you say like, yeah, I'm going to die alone. Right. Kirsten, what's your point?
Yeah, Kirsten, do you feel good? Yay, good? Kirsten. Yeah, Kirsten.
You're like, Kirsten, you good
Sorry,
now?
Richard and Henry.
You look cooler to everyone in the room. We good now, Kirsten? Woo! Okay, let's all go back to having
Kirsten,
a good
give me
time.
A K. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Dottie Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Dottie Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell.
No matter what you're looking for in a non-alcoholic beer, there's only one name that has it all. Athletic Brewing Co. Full flavor? It's athletic. Huge variety? It's athletic. Award-winning styles you can get online, at the bar, or the grocery store? It's athletic. In fact, when it comes to amazing non-alcoholic beer, there's no question. It's athletic. Ask for it and find out. Go to askforathletic.com to find your closest retailer today. Near beer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What do you think is a character flaw of yours?
Oh, without a doubt, no hesitation, I can lack empathy. I can be very, very unempathetic towards myself and towards everybody else. I don't have like an amazingly large sensitivity chip. Mm-hmm. So sometimes now I've learned to just fake it a little bit.
It's good. Self-awareness.
Because it's the best I can do. But I don't really have like the threshold to sit at a lunch mm-hmm. and like hear my girlfriend complain about her boyfriend over and over. And then right. they break up and then they get back and then she hates him and then this happened and then that happened. I have little to zero right. empathy for like, and even things that are worse than that. Like, I'm a little desensitized.
You're going to be more like the friend that's like, okay, so we've had this conversation 10 times. We can't talk about this anymore. Like, you got to break up with him or shut the fuck up. Do you think that comes more with, like, experience and age?
I think it comes from a lot of things. I think I'm, like, predisposition to just be like that. I've kind of always been like that, which is terrible. And then I've, like, been through shit. I lost my mom pretty suddenly. Mm-hmm. I've been through, like, a lot of, like, seemingly traumatic events, and I don't use those like as a crutch.
Yeah,
I don't know. And you're not supposed to do this. You're never supposed to like compare like traumas or tragedies, but like I think that a lot of complaining is so counterproductive.
I actually can totally see where you're coming from. My best friend had lost her father.
Yeah.
And I remember having a conversation with her where she was like, everything now just sounds so
dumb.
Like, dumb. Like, dumb. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, my God. And then, like, I mean, you'll get friends that call you that need to talk about, like, something that is so trivial. And if you're someone who doesn't, like, and I'm working on it, but I'm not someone who, like, leans on people. I've been better about it, but like I don't like attention for sad stuff.
I get that.
I have a hard time understanding and comprehending and like being a pillar of support for people who are so comfortable getting attention for sad stuff.
You know what? I think it's also there's a lot of people that find like almost get fueled and find like connection through connecting, being like just complaining about everything to their person,
like, and trauma bonding.
And I am similar to you in that aspect of like, I remember, I would be interested to know if this affected you with your husband, but like I remember in the beginning of dating, my boyfriend would always be like, okay, I am your partner. I can tell you're upset about something, like, do you want to share it?
Totally.
I'm like grossed out by like talking about my
issues.
Same.
Because I feel like I'm too aware that they're like, it's
trivial
to me, or it's big right now, but this is trivial. Like, yeah. we don't need to talk about it. I'm upset about this. Like, yeah. Let's move on. Where then my partner's like, yeah, but like, this is like, if you're upset about this, like, let's talk about it.
Totally.
Does Andrew ask you to be like, babe, can you give me like a little something here?
Yeah. I think that my husband definitely like feels close and wants to share and wants, and I've worked on it a lot. I still have a lot of room to grow because it's just not my thing. Like, it is not my default setting. It is so uncomfortable for me. I get like, just, I'm just like icked by it. I'm a self processor and I just, it's where I do the clearest thinking and healing. And I get defensive sometimes even with friends because I feel like it validates them for me to dump or to, you know, emotionally. It validates the relationship or that I'm turning to them or I'm leaning on them. And maybe that's me being like fucked up and guarded, which it could be, but I don't need to do that. So I don't want to do that.
I just think, listen, if you feel like you process shit alone, I think especially for women, you almost feel like, why do I not want to like,
or you're being guarded or you're like secretive. It's so not, everyone's fucking different. Like, if you don't feel like sharing, you don't have to.
I agree. Okay, you brought up your mom.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people write in that are like, how do I handle grief? And I understand everyone deals with it differently.
Totally. Oh, but my God, yeah.
How would you give advice to someone that is like recently going through grief? Yeah. Just like how to even understand it, handle it, move forward.
I mean, it really is like case by case. And I think that people who are like going through like a very difficult time should know that literally everything is temporary. Like everything in the world is temporary. And for me, I like went through like a really weird time where I was just like, my whole world was shook. Like everything I thought I knew was different. Like every security anchor was gone and I was like free balling and I was like, what the fuck? So in those situations, whether you're grieving or not grieving, like, and your life is uprooted and you're in transitional periods, it's like you either sink or you swim. But for me, stagnant is not an option. So obviously, like, I go through so many things. It's like a random Tuesday where you're just like crying in a car and you're like, what the fuck? I've always used humor to deal with everything. It makes everything easier. And for people who don't understand, I totally get it. I've got friends that are like, you're so fucking weird. This is so dark. What is wrong with you? I understand that too. For me, I've always used it. It makes everything easier to digest. It's not like, it's not deflective coping. It's kind of like, it is what it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I would say, like, you kind of have to make like an internal decision. Are you gonna sink? Are you gonna swim? For me, my whole agenda, when my mom died, my throat's closing up.
You're like, can I drink my juice? I'm like, sweating. Okay,
cool. Do you have any vodka? When I like really got in the mindset where I was like, I don't want attention for I don't want to walk into a room and get like the loose clutch on my shoulder of people being like, how are you doing? And how's your dad? And are you okay? And oh, your mom loved you. I'm like, no shit, bitch. I know my mom loved me. She hated you. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, you start getting in that mode where it's like, now people, your whole identity is like you're walking around with a black veil. Mm. Some people love that. We call them grief groupies. This is the problem. There are human beings who are finally getting attention and they fucking love it. So you go through something terrible and then everyone feels bad for you and then everyone shows up with the casseroles and you feel like you got a little gold validation sticker on your fucking forehead. That's where you get into a weird rhythm of being the victim. That's not the vibe because that has an expiration date and then everybody goes back to work in 3 months and everyone fucking forgot because it's no longer relevant. Right. To you, still very relevant. To all the other people, doesn't matter. So I think like you have to, I just always said that I was going to like commemorate my mother's life with living the fuck out of mine. It doesn't mean that you don't have terrible days. It doesn't mean you don't feel sad or you miss them. That's always going to exist. But why would you not want to experience your, like, why wouldn't you want to just have a good day when you can have a fucking good day? And a lot of that is about, like, emotional boundaries, mm-hmm. and people who don't serve you. Like, it becomes like this whole aftershock wave. You have to kind of just, like, dial it in and do the best you fucking can.
Yeah.
It's really, I feel like I haven't said anything.
No, but I think you said so much, and it's helpful to hear, because
it's just a decision.
I think that's really, I don't want to use the word powerful, but like you, the way you articulate it, you did say so much, because I think that there's a mentality,
yeah.
of like, I mean, I've talked to my friend Lauren about this, like her trying to decide like where am I going to go with my life? Cause sure. I have my life and my yeah. dad has his life. And like, there's just a lot of shit you have to deal with internally of like, separating your own self from yes. then what happened, if that makes any fucking 1,000%.
Sense. 1,000%.
But also still knowing like that's your parent and you like it's confusing.
There's so many layers to grief, and like every instance is different. All I can say is that you just have to like make a conscious yeah. decision that you're not going to walk around with a vigil candle and a fucking deli platter and Shiva flowers like Alex Cooper.
It's all coming for full circle back to the end of this episode.
Shiva flowers. This is why I was triggered.
You're literally like,
do you know what? How many funerals I've been to with the sad fucking deli platters? I can't even go to a Valley Deli anymore because I've been to so many fucking funerals and the Jews love deli platters. And then you're like, can you imagine you just put a family member in the ground and then you're making like a pastrami sandwich and then you look around and you see these urns and the fucking shitty ass Ralph's flowers. It's terrible.
Jackie is fully triggered. She's like, why did you bring me here? I thought this was supposed to be fun. No, I really do appreciate my last question about this, which I yeah. think is very important, is there are people mm-hmm. that on this unself-aware spectrum mm. have no idea how to handle if a friend is going through something and has lost someone in their life. Okay.
Okay.
And can you just quickly explain things that have like been, you don't have to give examples, but you could have things that are said examples. That you're like, don't say this, you fucking idiot.
Please don't say everything happens for a reason or you will get slapped. Everything happens for a reason. Thank you. Thank you, Katie. Have fun with your mom. Like, shut the fuck up. Do not anything that is on some spiritual religious bumper sticker, don't you fucking dare drop that shit. Don't do it. When you see a butterfly, don't say, that's, I could tell that was your mom. I fucking hate butterflies.
You get a fucking fly swatter, you're like, fuck you.
I swear to God, I saw a rainbow yesterday and I knew it was your mom. I was like, do you want to get hit? Do you want to get hit? Do you want to get hit?
This is helpful.
It's a sign. Did you? Oh, she did this for you. So when I bought my house,
okay.
This is like a whole other conversation.
Okay.
I found my house. It was unlisted. It was off market. My realtor calls me. He's like, hey, there's this house. It's coming for sale. I only wanted to buy it in this one neighborhood. Whatever. Okay. So I go to the house. I break in. It was vacant. The guy was dead. Whatever. Broken through the back.
The guy's dead inside?
No, thank God.
He had died.
Went to hospice in Texas. Dead, out, fine.
Great.
Vacant. So I like, you know, jimmied my way in and I was like, oh my God, I love this house. So I'm talking to my grandparents and they said, oh, how's your guys' house hunt coming? And I'm like, oh, it's good. I think I found a house today. We're going to put an offer. And they're like, which house is it? We used to live in that neighborhood. And I give them the address and it was my mother's childhood home. So I now live in my mother's childhood home. Okay. I did not know. I had never been there because when my grandparents like lived in a different state, we never went there.
Right.
I wasn't alive.
Right.
So that automatically made me hate the house because I was like, oh my God, that's so weird. Now it's going to be like this whole like butterflies and rainbows and like Bechert bullshit. I'm like, I'm not dealing with it. Oh my God. So I then got into like a severe bidding war where I had to basically bankrupt the entirety of our bank accounts to get this fucking house because I loved it so much. It was locked up in probate, blah, blah, blah. It took me like a year to get this fucking house. Okay. Very ruthless bidding war. So I overpaid by like an obscene amount of money that I can't even really say out loud because it will be alienating and disgusting. Whatever. So I get into this house. I have my family over for like the first holiday and every single motherfucker looks at me with that fucking hand, with that loose little grip, the little shoulder grip and the lip quiver and says, your mom got you this house. Your mom brought this house to you. And I'm looking at them and I'm thinking to myself, I've had to spread my legs metaphorically behind a microphone and hawking every product under the sun on Instagram like a shameless, ruthless prostitute for years so that I could buy this house because I bought the house. I wanted to buy the house.
Me.
I bought the house. Bled my bank accounts dry, and you have the nerve to tell me that this bitch, my dead mother, brought me the house? If that was the case, I would have fucking inherited it. I would have bought it before the pandemic when the housing market was a little more stable. Okay? How dare you? And it took everything in me. I was clutching my martini glass like with a white knuckling it, and I just wanted to bash it over everyone's head. And I even said to my dad, I'm like, if one more motherfucker says to me that my dead mom got me this house,
I'm going to lose
Somebody's going to die in this house. And then the property value will really plummet. And we'll have to borrow your flowers for the Shiva.
It's so short. Fuck you. You are leaving today with them.
I'm not taking them. I hate them.
These are real.
Okay. We couldn't go low and tight. Couldn't go low and full.
He's crying. Come here.
Sorry.
Okay, he's crying. He's upset.
Sorry, Henry.
Because, okay, this is my thought.
Mm-hmm.
Shut the fuck up.
Please.
Just shut the
just
fuck up.
Just be like, this sucks so bad. I'm so fucking sorry. Yeah. This is terrible. Like, what can I do?
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Everyone deals with grief differently. Yeah. So follow your friend's lead. If it's also not your fucking friend and it's acquaintance, shut the fuck up.
Please don't. It was so funny. Like, I had a friend that would like weaponize like my grief. Like, it wasn't like, I wasn't like coming to her to cry. Like, I was going to other people. And then she like was like, do you not like feel comfortable with me? Or do you not like feel close to me? And I'm like, you're literally the worst.
Like, you're making this about you. How are we?
Like, you suck so bad. And honestly, like, I should send her an edible arrangement because I need to thank her because she made the whole experience like so diffusive because I was like, oh, wow. Like, you just took me out of my grief because now I just want to fucking headbutt you because you're so stupid.
Right. Like, what? What do you mean? How is this? How did we make this about you?
What movie are you? What? It was like I had a stroke. I was like, pourquoi? Do I need to like... Do I need to apologize to you because I'm not like sad enough for you?
Yeah. I think that's the wrap up of that is like if it's not your shit, just literally
you don't need to like not talk about it's not like that. No. It's just like let the person read
the room.
Do their thing.
Yes. Thank you.
And that's totally okay. That is such an extreme place of privilege to not understand, and I honestly think that's amazing and you should just like run with that. It's fabulous, you lucky son of a bitch. But yeah, it's an extreme yeah. tier of privilege to like not understand that
level of,
and that's cool too,
totally. But if acknowledge you don't know it, and so don't act yeah. like you have any fucking comprehension of what happened.
Oh my god, I love when like a friend who was like, I know, like I lost my my pet kitty when I was 3, and I was like, cool.
Even like, sorry to say this, I need to move these.
Yeah, please.
Even, and I'm not trying to be an asshole, but even when grandparents.
It's the circle of life. Q Simba.
Let me guess, they were 80, 90. Like,
lie down. It was go to sleep, as right. Kelly Bensimon once, or Bethany Frankel once said, go to sleep.
Right.
Like, they had a good run.
Right, and that's, like, natural. Like, what were you expecting? Like, they were going to have, like, a revive and just start, like, that was how it was supposed to go.
Oh, my God. My grandpa was, like, literally, I was prepared for him to die for, like, 12 years. My parents were like, listen, grandpa's, like, not super healthy. He's, like, totally overweight, like, had a terrible lifestyle. They told me this when I was 7. That fucker hung around till I was, like, 25. It became, like, a bit in my family. I was like, you're still here? I've been prepared for years. I grew out of my fucking funeral dress.
No, you're so right. It's
like I have one black outfit. I don't even fit in it anymore, Grandpa. Jesus Christ, you're milking the clock. It's turn.
So I can put you in the urn. And Alex can put you in here and we can place
you. He'd need a much bigger urn. He was a very obese man. It would take up the whole room.
Shout out Jackie's grandpa.
Love you.
Grandpa. Love you. Is he still here?
No, he's dead. Wow, Alex.
Okay.
Long gone.
Okay, we're off. We're moving off the grief topic.
Yes.
I think my last thing is this. This is actually just out of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to your Zimmerman dress?
Oh, Alex. This is still on the topic of grief, by the way. I've experienced so much loss.
Well, you're like, fuck my grandpa. Let's talk about the Zimmerman dress.
The Zimmerman dress. Honestly, you know, hindsight's 2020. I'm like, I'm too cool for a Zimmerman midi dress. Like, I've evolved. Jesus, this is funny. Okay.
Okay, give it to
us. Well, I was attending a baby shower.
Okay.
And I was trying to find something, like, I found this dress. It was a Zimmerman dress. It had, like, a molded cup balconette with a cutout. Pockets. She loves pockets. I love pockets.
Love.
Okay. And it was in my size. I didn't have to wear a bra. I looked cute. It, like, I had just had a parasite, so I was very gaunt.
You were, like, winning.
Like, literally, my clavicle was protruding, and I had, like, an upper rib cage thing because I was shitting out my colon for weeks.
No, this is, like, people are going to be pissed. When we were at Tower Bar, mm-hmm. you were, like, I've just been feeling, like, a little, like, just, like, bloated, whatever.
Yeah.
And Jackie turns to the waiter. She's, like, could I get some, like, expired salmon?
I'm, like, do you have a raw salmon fillet? That's unrefrigerated. The guy did not get that at all. He was like, pardon? I was like, never mind. I'll just have the brands, you know.
Okay, so you're gaunt. You're ready with your dress.
I was ready to rumble. Found this dress. I had it hooked in the back of my car. And I have a convertible. And I was doing a bathroom renovation. I'm very hands-on with my renovations. I love the Home Depot. It makes me feel alive.
I love it.
Insecure girls. Go to Home Depot. Wear something tight and sexy. You will get accosted.
No, you know what's crazy? Sorry to cut you off, but I remember back in the day where I said some controversial shit. I was self-aware enough to know that if I went to the University of Arizona, I was going to be like a 5 on the scale. Okay. Boston University?
It's the same thing at a Home Depot.
Give me a 12.
If you go to a Valley Home Depot, you've got better odds. If you go to like... anything off the 405, it kind of depends. It's all about geography.
You could run into Giselle, so yeah. You're going to be the toad.
Canoga Park, Home Depot, you'll never feel anything like it.
So you're saying you go there and you feel the like, hottest, most beautiful version of yourself.
It is the Victoria's Secret fashion show reboot at the Home Depot before 10 a.m. when all the contractors are there. Like, there's no, like, women, like, but, you know, you're it. That's it. So I was there at about 7:35 in the morning.
Jesus.
I know. Rise and grind. Okay.
She's got construction.
Literally grinding with contractors in aisle 4. And I was in a bike short looking so cute, sawing my own fucking trim. I needed like one piece of trim for a door. I was trying to wrap it up, you know? And the trim was very long. So I figured the only way I could fit it in my car was to put my top down and shimmy it in the front so it could hang out the back. Okay.
Okay. Super safe. In your convertible.
In my convertible. This is like Final Destination shit, okay? So in the transportation of my trim piece, I had the dress hooked on the back, okay?
Okay.
And I'm driving on the freeway, and I'm holding the trim because I didn't really feel like having it. God forbid. I mean, honestly, in hindsight, I wish that trim would have fucking... hightailed it out of the car and like punctured the car behind me and I could have kept the dress because I didn't have something to wear to the shower. Couldn't find anything. Okay. Whatever. I'm holding the trim. I'm driving, like cursing the day that my husband was born because he's like off at a trip somewhere.
Of course.
And I'm just schlepping lumber, literally schlepping lumber. And I look behind me and I all of a sudden, like, I'm driving and I just see like a pink, like a pink parachute rising into the sky off the 101 freeway at 7:34 in the morning. And I'm like, huh. I look behind. It was like slow-mo. I see my fucking dress catch wind and fly the fuck out of my car. Okay. So now I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, what do I even do? So I call highway patrol. I get off the freeway. I didn't even know who to call. I literally was like, I have a dress. It was $850, by the way. Okay.
Okay.
Tags attached.
Oh God.
Glad I did. You know, it wasn't my journey aesthetically, but it was an expensive dress that I never got to fucking wear. And it was sold out in the size I needed because everyone kept sending me the certain size. I needed a two for the tits.
Two for the tits.
Sold out. So I pull over on the side of the road. I'm now like pilfering through bushes.
Looking. Wait, you get out of your car?
I did a little peruse. Okay. I did a little peruse. But then I thought, you know what? I called the highway patrol. They're going to return it. Like, they're going to get it dry cleaned for me. I had a massage.
And wait, what world are you living in?
I don't know. I live in suburbia. I figured, listen, I call these guys. I'm like, I have a dress that flew out of my car.
Yeah, I feel like they get called, abusing. Like, no, literally, you're abusing.
Someone was stabbed. Yeah.
Like, usually it's like, there's someone's a riot on the side of the road. Someone was stabbed. There's an animal that's dead. There's a car.
Kidnapping.
Like, my Zimmerman dress was $900. Yeah. Could you guys do a loop?
Yeah. Could you guys do like, one of those zigzags, you know, where you shut the freeway down during rush hour? I'm like, it has cutouts and pockets. It's like so cute. It's so good. It's so hard for me to find a dress where I don't have to wear a bra.
They're like, ma'am. You're like, no, size
and like,
two.
I just like, I don't know, like, should I pull over on the road? Like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like this is like a safety breach. I've already been like sexually harassed at Home Depot. I'm not trying to like get picked up.
And what are they saying?
I mean, they were laughing.
Of course. As we all are now, Jackie.
We were laughing. Like, we were having a good time. Okay. I'm like, here's where I live. Like, there's a dry cleaner's down. I was like making all the jokes. Okay, great, you know great. What I mean? So I thought, 100%, they're going to pick it up. Drop it off. So then I like, you know, I had to deliver my trim pieces. I've got guys on the clock. Okay. I'm not fucking around. And this is also relatable and likable. Daddy gang's gonna love this. So then I had a massage and I so my phone was in my locker, whatever, and I had posted all of these stories. In one of the stories that I had posted on Instagram, you can see the dress off the freeway. You can see its exact location, like under a fence, under a pickup truck that was parked on the side of the road.
Like, it's like behind you while you're filming.
You can see the pink.
Someone spotted it.
I missed it. Yeah. So all of a sudden I'm getting like so many messages of people circling, like, I see where your dress is. I see where your dress is. I knew exactly where it was. I get back in my car. I drive back. It's not there. The next day, the dress in my size, tags attached, sold out everywhere, is available for sale for pickup in the Los Angeles location of The Real Real. Full price. And I'm like,
no.
So some shady fuck. Honestly, love them. If you did this, I will, like, please show yourself.
Yeah, we respect you.
I respect you. I like you. I will go to Tower Bar with you and we'll get raw salmon together. Some shady ass bitch rolled up, because I was giving like very specific geographics.
No, I remember you posting,
I was
about,
like, if
this,
you get off at Canoga and make a right,
like, it's gonna be somewhere near there. And you're thinking, these are people that love me and support me, they will bring the dress to me, they will get it dry cleaned and bring it to me.
I thought someone, like, I imagine like a bunch of girls 25 to 35 in bitch Bible merch and like fucking highway patrol, like, neon vests with flashlights, like, searching for this dress. That's in my head where I, like, just Hawk and Macho with their shih tzus, like, patrolling the valley for my dress. A search and rescue mission.
You didn't think.
No, I never thought. Naive.
That a little cunt was gonna say.
And you know who'd do something like that? Me. Let me tell you something. When I was 18 years old, if I found out some bitch had, you know, a Zimmerman dress go airborne off the side of the 101 freeway and it was tags attached for $850 and I was eating bagel bites for 3 weeks, you think I wouldn't be tits deep on the side of the freeway searching for that fucking dress? You are dead wrong. So I can relate and I respect it.
I have no words. I guess we end it by respectfully respecting the cunt that went out of her way.
This one's for her.
Mm-hmm.
whoever you are, I actually would fucking love if you reached out to us.
Show yourself.
We would actually really respect you.
I will.
If you're this, like, well,
no. If this person exposes themselves with receipt, we need a receipt from the real. I need I need a full manila folder to showcase that it's you. I will take you to Zimmerman and I will buy you a full outfit.
It was me.
Alex, we're going to Zimmerman.
Jackie,
I know. I'm sweating. So sorry to bring the mood down.
No, I love how when I'm like grief and then you're like, no, I'm gonna bring it down even more.
Yeah.
Grandpa, pause.
Light your vigil candles. No.
I love you. Thank you so much for coming. You. I'm sweating. I'm gonna pee my pants. This was a great app. Henry, wait, let's pull the dogs up for one quick
yes.
little.
Yes.
Come here.
Oh, bitch.
Okay, can I defend the flowers now?
Yes. What?
I need to defend the flowers now.
Oh, did you do this?
I do them every week. They're one of my greatest prides.
Okay.
Let me just tell you this
Sorry.
Week.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. This week, I went to both Bristol Farms and Ralph's. Went twice. Bought a pair. Still didn't think they looked good enough.
Okay.
No. Went back for more. Those pink ones I hate are the only ones that I could find, and it's been a journey.
Jordan, let me also defend you.
It's not the flowers, it's the vase.
The vase is not your fault.
No, it's not the flowers.
It's
the turquoise.
She painted it. Because
Alex is like, I really want to
turquoise. She went to color me mine. Yeah, it was like your Christmas gift. I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Alex is like, I really want a green vase.
I thought I wanted it to be like a color. Okay. And Jordan said she's great at.
That's amazing. That is the best news.
We don't take it personally. No. We need to get it together.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.